The ABC's Word Wizard. The Lord of Language. A word in your ear with Professor Rolly Sussex.
It's that time of the day. The ABC's Word Wizard, Rolly Sussex, OAM, Emeritus Professor from the School of Languages and Cultures at the University of Queensland, is here willing and able to talk with you about words, language and linguistics. 1-300-222-612 is the telephone number you can use to join the conversation. 1-300-222-612, and you can call now. Rolly, good afternoon.
Slantcha.
Slantcha. Slantcha. That's the Gaelic word that you would say to, you know, as a toast of good health or a cheese.
That's right. That's right. And that is what the dictionary tells me to say. So
that's what we say. Thank you very much. You've been helpful ways than one this afternoon. Oh. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Where are you starting?
You're a bit upset. Rolly, are you upset, or are people upset and they share their upsettedness with you about the way that some people are saying words at the moment?
I think it's probably them being more upset than I am.
Okay.
I'm rather interested in deviations from the norm because some of them actually are indicative of certain patterns of usage in Australia.
I see.
And kids under about 14 have got very much their own way of talking, which I can't hope to imitate.
Mm.
But it's almost another little dialect on its own.
Wow. But that's an internet-informed manner of speech, is it?
I think so, yes. But we are surrounded by a soup of different sorts of English. Because there's lots of sorts of Australian. There's educated and there's general and there's broad. And there's immigrant Englishes, like Italian English and Greek English. And then there's all of the indigenous ones, and there's two Creoles as well. So we are, without even going to the TV and the radio and hearing people from overseas, we are surrounded by all sorts of different pronunciations. And it's pretty tricky to know which one is the accepted one in Australia.
Yeah, it does get quite challenging. And people are fairly sure, I find, Rolly, that the way they've been saying a word is the way to say a word.
They're judgmental. My way is right and everybody else is wrong.
Mm, but that does come from somewhere, doesn't it? I mean, I don't feel as though it was that long ago that the school system would emphasise the pronunciation of a word a particular way.
I would.
I wonder if it's the same case today.
I think they're a bit more permissive than they used to be. Certainly when people went to elocution, then they were taught to enunciate all of their consonants clearly, and it was rather British. But, for example, there's a lot of words where you can put the stress in different places and nobody really worries too much, like research and research and cigarette, you know, who cares? Fiji and Fiji, Mindanao and Mindanao, Azerbaijan. Pakistan, harassment, all of these are listed in the dictionary and they give you both variants. And you just, if you're going to be safe, choose the first one. As long as it's an Australian dictionary, because that's what they recommend. And if someone does challenge you, you can say, well, I have the best authority available and that's what I'm going to use. But there are other words like menu. You go to
M-E-N-U.
Menu. Well, it's menu in French.
Uh-huh.
The dictionaries recommend here menu, but I've heard a lot of people say menu.
Menu?
Centenary or centenary, which do you prefer?
I would say centenary.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Clearly that means that I am right and my way is the right way.
Well, you've got one of the two right ones. I tend to say centenary.
Centenary. That's interesting because I remember, I mean, I was the sports captain of my high school.
Oh.
And I went to Indooroopilly State High School. You try spelling out Indooroopilly in the long, give me an I, were you there for half an hour. That's a sporting feat in and of itself. But we would often compete against the schools from the centenary suburbs of Brisbane.
They were too.
And you would say centenary. You wouldn't say centenary.
But the dictionary says
centenary.
First.
Wow.
And then there's our old friend, the bougainvillea, which a lot of people call bougainvillea.
Me included.
Or bougs. Or bogues.
The bogues,
yes. Now, the French explorer after whom it was named is Bougainville. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But B-O-U in Australian English can be boo or bow. And most people, I think, would say bogues or nowadays or bougainvillea.
Mm-hmm.
I say bougainvillea and some people look at me as, you know, he's putting on the French airs again. So that we get used to living in a world where lots of things have alternative pronunciations. Deus and dias, heinous and heinous. you know, without going anywhere near debut and debut and debuted. If you did, if you made your debut yesterday and you did it as a verb, yesterday I debuted.
Yeah. I would say debuted, but I'm never wrong.
Yeah, but the more you think about it, the harder it is because you think, wait a moment, I've heard all of these. Which is the one that I'm meant to be saying?
See, I'm listening to everything you're saying and I, on one hand, think, gee, it's tremendous that there's such variation because it reflects the fact that language is a living thing and people bringing their own flavour and personality to it, cultural information, etc. But I also think, be sure we need standards, and if we accept too much deviation from the norm, does that risk us losing the ability to effectively communicate? Will there be meaning lost?
Could well be, particularly with people from overseas. You've got other patterns and norms, and you can get quite in quite strife of that. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one which has happened fairly recently. It comes from Britain, and it's the distribute-contribute one, rather than distribute and contribute. They put the stress on the first syllable, distribute-contribute. It's happened in Britain in the last 15 years or so, and it's now very common from the BBC, and where the BBC goes, many others follow.
Yes, but even the BBC in recent decades has relaxed its approach to... I mean, there was a time when Rob from Manchester wouldn't have had a job at the BBC with his Mancunian accent.
No, well, at least not announcing.
But these days...
This is the news from the BBC, and here is Robert Firms.
And it was pretty similar on the ABC as well.
It was, and it was like that when I went to live in New Zealand in 56. And when I came back to Australia in 74, it was all Australian, and I rejoiced because we'd arrived.
We'd made it.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I mean, these two British things, they just popped out of nowhere. I don't know why. On the other hand, there are other things like some French cooking terms. Do you have a confit or a confit?
Confit.
Confit, you're right. But then you've been doing an awful lot of cooking recently.
Quite, but let's not talk about the war.
We heard about your heroic exploits. Fricassee or fricassee. And what is your J-U-S?
My jus.
Yeah, well, it's your jus.
Jus,
which is the French one.
Nice
if you
gravy.
Were being very French, you would say, I have a jus, which is the natural juices of meats and things which they cook in, rather than making a gravy to which you add flour and stuff.
Yeah. Dripping.
And then there's real mistakes like nuclear.
Oh, I do that. I make that mistake all the time.
You do?
Well, I say nuclear.
Nuclear is the correct one.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Nuclear is George W. Bush.
This is where it gets so concerned, Rolly.
The funny thing is
that
we confuse ourselves because after a while, as you say very correctly, the more we are aware of alternatives, the less we are able to say, hang on, was that the way I used to say it or is some kind of innovation here? There's a lovely bit of I think, video where George W. was asked by a journo about what he thought about certain nuclear policies. And he said, no, it's nuclear. And she said, yes, Mr. President, the nuclear. And he said, no, you've got this wrong, it's nuclear.
Oh, dear.
And it was, he now makes fun of himself, which gives him great credit.
Well, we must laugh, mustn't we?
We must laugh. But then what about remunerate and remunerate?
Oh.
Now, then, both are words.
Uh-huh.
What you get paid in your pay packet is your remuneration. And your remuneration, where you've swapped the M and the M, means numbering something again. Remuneration. And these, particularly remuneration, is very unusual. It's not at all common. And if you look it up on Google, you'll find there's hardly any hits. But then what again? Irrelevant and irreverent. This is L's and R's getting mixed up. And people occasionally just get themselves totally messed about.
Affect, effect.
Yes. And vulnerable. Well, that is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are speaking at great speed and there's no room and time to get all of the consonants in.
The one that I find interesting is when I can't do it. I know about two people, you're one of them, that says Wednesday with all of the consonants.
Yeah. But I tend not to say the Wednesday.
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 Yes.
Which is three long syllables. Wednesday is, I think, what people normally do. And they get rid of the D entirely.
But is that correct, Rolly? Is that
right?
It's are we okay with that, Rolly?
I think we're all right with it.
Okay.
Because such an enormous proportion of people say it that way. Mm-hmm. And if you actually do say Wednesday, people will sometimes look sideways at you and thinking, you know, this person being hypercorrect about something for
so long? No one is doing it properly. 25 minutes past two, ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland is where you find yourself this afternoon. I'm Kat, and Professor Rolly Sussex is having a word in your ear about pronunciation. Jamie on the Gold Coast, you have a very simple question about a letter, let alone a word.
Good afternoon. I do. I honestly die a little death every time I hear the pronunciation of H as H.
Oh, yeah.
By the way,
sorry, Jamie, it's pronunciation, but pronounce.
Just to make things
And this is one of the nasty ones, which is waiting to trip you up. But you're quite right. H used to be standard in Ireland and nowhere else. And the story then was that it came to Queensland, in particular in Australia, from the Catholic teachers in the schools, the brothers and the...
Why would that be?
Because they came from Ireland.
And that was how you...
And they brought H with them.
Okay.
And it is meant to have spread south. However, we have had calls on this program over the 25-plus years it's been running, where people came and said, I went to a Catholic school and we were given strong physical encouragement to say H rather than H.
Putting it mildly.
Yes. And the H has certainly gone south. It's taken root in the southern states and is now more common than H.
Really?
In the
H is more common?
I'm afraid so. I won't say it and I refuse to say it because I was brought up that H is uneducated. Now, that is no longer true in Australia. Mr. Beattie was a H man.
The former Premier.
But I think the former Premier's... I've been trying to find a way to provoke the current Premier into saying H or H, and I haven't had the opportunity yet.
Oh, goody. Maybe at the Ecker.
Yes.
There we go, Jamie. H is hanging around.
H is okay. But
well, H is correct.
Well, it's not so correct, but it's very widely spread. And if you say H, I find even difficulty pronouncing it, people will often not even blink. But if you're in very careful company where they're watching their P's and Q's, H would be advisable.
I'm immediately taken to My Fair Lady.
Yes.
Hartford.
Hereford and Hampshire. Yes.
Where Hurricanes. Marianne at Kenmore, are you a fan of Audrey Hepburn's My Fair Lady? Hello.
Love Audrey Hepburn and My Fair Lady, but my question is to the good professor, the word often. Mm-hmm. Is it often or often as I often hear on the ABC?
This is one where you can actually leave out the second consonant. There aren't too many of those. You normally leave out the first one, as in Arctic for Arctic. But no, it used to be often, which is why it was written that way, and it was then oft as well. Both can be pronounced that way. But nowadays, often is probably 95% of the time. And hearing someone say often is fairly unusual. So for preference, often, definitely.
Often.
Mm-hmm.
Good-o.
Often is not wrong,
listening.
But it's slightly archaic.
Thank you very much, Marianne. 1-300-222-612. That is the telephone number you can use if you would like to join the conversation. I'm Kat, and Professor Rolly Sussex, our Lord of Language, is here. Having a word in your ear about the way you talk, really? Are you speaking your words the same way everyone else around you is speaking them? And if not, who's right? Who is wrong?
And the trouble is that it's the same ways people around are speaking. Because the N-E-W-S used to be news, but quite a few people are saying news now.
News, yeah, I've heard news.
You've heard it? Yeah, I don't think you'd say it. I think you're a new person.
News.
But what about N-U-D-E?
N-nude.
Yes, you say nude?
Yeah. Mostly, if I'm being careful, but I would just drop a nude.
Yes.
I'd drop a nude, yeah.
Yes. There is an N-U-D-E... surfing contest in Sydney around about February every year.
Right.
And that's been called nude for at least 10 years now. Mm. There's an Americanism, getting rid of before the vowel oo, like tune and dune. Right. In America, they say tune and dune.
Yes.
And in a hurry in Australia, we say tune and june.
What about the tinned fish?
Tuna.
I hear tuna.
Tuna. I would say tuna.
Tuna.
You hear tuna a lot. It's the same thing. Hmm. T or D or whatever before the oo vowel.
Okay.
But a lot of people say tuna. Tuna fish.
John at Bribie Island, a point to make about Australia, mate. Hello, g'day. Hey, Gan.
Not bad. What I'm saying about the pronunciation of words is strine. Mm. And that was supposed to be the Australian language.
Yes.
I just like to know where that originated from and when.
Okay, it was written down in 1966 in a book called Let Stork Strine by Afebeck Lauder for alphabetical order. It was actually a man called Alistair Morrison. And he wrote down a lot of Australian pronunciations as if they might look as if you wrote them down corresponding to ordinary words. So a Gloria Soame was a Gloria's home. All right. And there are a whole series of these. It's very funny. But at the time, people were already pronouncing the language this way. And so what he did was write it down and make us aware of what we were actually saying. Like the lady called Emma Chisett. Now, you went to the shop and you said, Emma Chisett?
Emma Chisett, yes.
Emma Chisett. It's well worth getting a copy of this just to see, because it actually holds up a kind of mirror to us and says, this is what you're saying, but it's not what you're writing.
And what's the name of the book again?
It's called Let Stork Strine, S-T-R-I-N-E. And the author is Afebeck, A-F-F-E-R-B-E-C-K, Lauder, L-A-U, I think, D-E-R, Afebeck Lauder, 1966. And it's one of the important stepping stones on the way to modern Australian English.
How very good, Rolly. Thank you. Yeah. What a recommendation. Thank you, John.
Great book. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marie is near Cardwell. Not quite in Cardwell, Marie, but adjacent. Cardwell Curious. What would you like to say, Marie? Hello.
Yes, hi. It's thank you for the opportunity. Hmm. For a long time, I've heard people saying, it's a simple one, people saying something when they really mean something. Mm.
Yep.
That's annoying. I think everyone needs to learn that.
Yep. We got it from the east end of London. It's Cockney. And it only happens with two words, something and anything. And you don't do it with T-H-I-N-G. That's thing, not think. But something, sometimes something with an F. Right? Something. And it was in Steptoe and Son and various other series like that on TV in the past.
Which something.
Came out of the Brits.
Summat.
Yeah, Summit. Well, Summit is different. That's already been changed to something else.
I just wondered, look, with the sort of picking up of various pronunciations of English from various parts of England, and again, kind of going back to, well, does it really matter, yes or no? Would you hear a something and then think that's wrong because that's, I mean, I don't know, is there an element of class here, a bit
of
snobbery,
Rowley? Definitely,
Rowley?
Definitely. And particularly in the 19th century, people from the Midlands, say, where a lot of money was being made in Manchester and Birmingham from manufactures, would hire a tutor who just, a well-spoken young aristocratic person from Oxford or Cambridge to make sure that their children did not sound provincial. Because sounding provincial was something they would try and avoid at all cost. Mm. Nowadays, it is a class thing, but it's flattening out very, very quickly. And the BBC uses what's called estuary English, which is the English spoken around the Thames estuary, which was much less posh than the received pronunciation RP that the BBC used to have. And that the Queen had at the start of her reign when she did her first Christmas messages. Her current ones are still beautiful upper-class British English, but it has moved a bit.
Really?
Towards middle class. Yes, not a lot, but some.
I shall have to.
She's a very, very good talker.
Go and listen.
What about this one?
Mm.
Medicine. Three syllables or two?
As opposed to medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I would say medicine.
Yeah.
But I've heard medicine.
Yes. What are you studying? If you ask a student, what are you studying? Oh, medicine.
Medicine.
And you regularly lose a syllable. Comfortable or comfortable?
Comfortable.
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 Yeah, there I think three rather than four.
Hmm.
Vegetable rather than vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Supposedly. That's my bit more marginal. But then you've got a very weird one. Like now, palliative is coming out as palliative.
Palliative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than palliative.
Yeah, I would hear palliative more than
you would
hear palliative.
You would indeed.
The other one. I didn't say it.
The one. And medieval rather than medieval. The E-E. Or palliative ear, people are getting rid of the first one. Miniature rather than miniature. Miniature sounds almost too careful, doesn't it? But the really odd one is foliage rather than foliage.
Oh.
Because foliage ear becomes foliage, and then the E somehow jumps to the other side of the L and you get foliage, which I have heard in gardening programs, even on the ABC.
Well, that's just common sense then, isn't it? It doesn't make, it's too tricky to say, make it easier. I mean, it's funny though, because that's a word with a few syllables and a complex arrangement of vowels. But I look at a word like ASK.
Yes.
And I hear other letters adding to the word.
Yes. This was a mistake which was around, I think, about 1400. It's been part of English forever. But in fact, it's an oddity.
Arcs,
yes. And people do the same thing with S and K and things like asterisks, where they mean asterisk. Right now, asterisk is that thing like it looks like a little star, and you write it. Whereas Asterix is the name of Asterix the Gaul, a cartoon from France by Goscinny.
Very good cartoon.
Oh, very, very good.
Wendy wonders about ceremony. Oh, yes. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you. This is American. The O N Y. Or A-R-Y, things like ceremony. In the Olympics in 2000, then edict went out that anyone commentating in Australia was going to say ceremony. And the people from NBC in the next booth were saying ceremony. And so you get ceremony, secretary, laboratory, right? And all of these ones with the stressed second last syllable, like ceremony, right, are American. And they now coexist with our ones, and in some cases are probably more common. I think ceremony is now well on the way to knocking ceremony out of the way. And I'm afraid that the Americans, there's 330 million of them, and there's only 26 million of us, barely. And we are in a minority, and I'm afraid starting to get sidelined a little bit.
And what are we anyway, Rolly, really? Lynn in Mariba, are you angry, or it's just the word you wanted to talk about that suggests rage?
Well, I've been fighting a one-person campaign all my life, and I'm ready to surrender. And by the way, I love the show, and I love Kat. She's just gorgeous, so bright. Anyway, the word is W-R-A-T-H. And when I was a teenager, which is a day or two ago, I looked it up, and it actually spelt it, R-A-W, Roth. So I thought, all right, I took that. Now I've heard Roth. I've heard everything, and I think I'm about to give. I've never heard anyone actually pronounce it like Roth.
Okay. Roth is the way in which it is recommended in the dictionaries, as if it had an O in the middle. But I can remember my grandma, who was born in 1876, used to say Australia and salt rather than Australia and salt. And so did the Queen, by the way. Way, way back when she was a young woman. But the Americans pronounce it Rath. And so we've got three versions hanging around. Roth is already a little bit dated. Roth is the current preferred one. Rath is the American one. But a lot of people hear American broadcasters. It's not a word you hear very often. And that's part of the problem, because if you only hear it once or twice, and let's say two out of the three times it's Rath, then you'll probably do the American one.
Lynn, say it five times correctly. Go. Say Lynn.
Correctly. Rath, 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 rath.
All right. There you go. Well, roth, roth, roth for us.
Good on you, Lynn. Yeah.
But again, this is one of those ones, words which aren't very much used. When you do hear them, they can actually put you on the spot. You know, what should I be saying?
What should I be saying? I don't know. And then there's the pressure to say it the proper way. And and this is where, you know, I kind of feel like there's a limit to the stress we need to put on pronunciation, really, because it would be awful if someone felt that they weren't allowed to speak because they were so concerned they weren't going to say something correctly.
Face-to-face with me say, oh dear, it's him. I better not say anything. Because otherwise he jumps on it. And of course I won't, because I'm...
You are the kindest,
I'm patient. Interested. But again, people, most of the time, here's one that I think is we've lost the ball on, and that's zoology or zoology.
Zoology.
Now, it should be, it's Z-O-O. Zoology, and that is a correct pronunciation.
Zoology.
But people see now, if it's going to be zoology, it should be O-O-O.
Three.
Yeah, three, and yet it's not. But I think zoology is now almost, I think it, possibly in a university zoology department you might hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But in general usage, zoology is probably winning 9-1 or something. You know, way out.
Shout out to all our zoologists. It is 3:25. I'm Kat, and Professor Rolly Sussex is having a word in your ear about pronunciation this afternoon. We'll take a few more phone calls, and then it will be nearly time for your last word, Professor.
Mm-hmm.
Just regarding the conversation we had about the letter H.
Yes.
Rob at Norman Park writes that his grade 4 daughter's teacher told him both are considered correct in the Queensland school system now, and they don't correct the children who say H. Rob, however, does. Rob, thank you very much. Yeah. April is wondering, is it Z or Z?
Mm-hmm.
April, thank you.
Okay, Z is the British and Australian one, and Z is the American one. And when my children were young, they knew that there was one sort of world where there was play school and they said Z, and then there was Sesame Street where they said Z. And they could flip from one to the other, doing an American accent. But Z, there are companies, I think, EZ, or it's written EZ. Uh-huh. But of course, if you pronounce it the American way, that's the same as EASY.
Mm.
So it's kind of rather convenient for a commercial name. And I'm starting to hear Z from young children. And I hope that Z persists, but it's under threat.
Oh, dear.
Under the gap.
Peter at Cairns. Hello, Peter at Cairns. What are you calling about this afternoon?
At Cairns.
Oh, you're at Carina and you're calling about Cairns.
About Cairns. Is it Cairns or Cairns?
Ah, certainly the Cairns in Scotland is Cairns, rather Cairns. In Australia, it used to be Cairns, but it's been Cairns now for at least 30 years, parallel to Cairns.
Okay, so
and I actually first heard it in Melbourne Airport. There was a flight going to Brisbane and Cairns, and I thought, what? What is this? And if you ask people in Cairns, about 50-50. It's split both ways. Some people who lived there, some people who were born there, some people who've come there from elsewhere. It's very much in play at the moment, and I'm waiting to see which way it falls.
Which one do you favour, Peter?
Well, Air is A-I-R, so Cairns is Cairns.
Right, agreed. But for some reason, Cairns has started to take off. And, of course, there is the C-A-N-N-E-S place in France.
Which
the
is
name
Cairns.
Of the film, which is Cannes.
Cannes.
Cannes. But okay. English people pronounce that Cairns.
Interesting. So the other sort of Queensland city in that neck of the woods-ish, M-A-C-K-A-Y.
Mackay.
Same spelling as my married name.
Yes.
M-A-C-K-A-Y. Yet people will say Mackay.
Yes.
Same spelling as Mackay. Same state. I am introducing myself to other people in Queensland with my married name.
Yes.
And they'll say Mrs. Mackay.
Yes. We actually had a ring 15 years ago on this program, someone who was a member of the family who established Mackay.
Right.
And she said, we say Mackay and that's what it ought to be.
I see.
So that's what I've done ever since. But a large number of people, again, probably, I don't know, 50-50, 60-40, I don't know, will say Mackay.
Very good. All right. Thank you very much to Peter. 20 minutes to three. I'm Kat Rowley's here. We'll squeeze in a few more calls. Theodora at Mount Gravatt. Good afternoon, Theodora.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. What do you know?
Well, I'm married to an Islingtonian.
Mm-hmm.
So he was born within the sound of bow bells, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And where our daughter says feel, and he keeps telling us it's feel. The longer E, not the extra syllable of feel.
Okay.
Like kneel.
That's one I hear both ways, and it tends to be almost an individual variation, I think. Feel, eel. It's in the dictionaries, it's what's called a diphthong, which is a glide from ear, from one vowel to the other, ear. And it depends on how much emphasis you put on the first one. And some people say feel quite quickly, and some people say feel. And I'm interested that someone born that close to the centre of Cockney English should be saying feel.
Thank you, Theodora. Joshua in North Queensland, hello. You want us to help you with an A word, Joshua. What word?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Yes, I noticed this word becomes a little more difficult with argumentative people. When they're wrong,
yes,
they might say argumentative.
Ah, yes. And this is one of the things like library, where you've got two R's in two adjacent syllables and it's hard to do, so put them both in.
Library.
So people say library, going to the library. February is gone virtually, February. And a tentative, you've got two T's in adjacent syllables. You've got to get your tongue up for the first and then back for the second one. And quite often when you've got a kind of repeated syllable or repeated sound, one of them falls out. So argumentative is it's not correct, but it's quite common, particularly at speed. And so, depending on if you're giving a formal speech, you would be expected to say argumentative. But the other one is heard, and it's not standard, right? And it's possibly close to being wrong. language is wrong.
Okay.
But people do say it.
How bold.
Yeah, people do.
Professor, it is about time for your last word.
A man who speaks three languages is trilingual. A man who speaks two languages is bilingual. A man who speaks one language is English.
Very good.
On your radio and online.
At home or on the road.
This is ABC Radio.